Today I'm going to share with you on a meditation on Psalm 25. I was reading it in prayer and I felt like God talked to me through it, and I wanted to share it with you. Now, the title at the start of the psalm, often different sections are titled, it's called Prayer for Guidance and for Deliverance. Who doesn't want to be guided? Every day I need guidance from God. Lord, you know, I'm going to do this. I've got a meeting here. Can you help me? Can you help me with my children? Can you help me, you know, just decisions you have to make in your work, in your everyday life, in your chores, in visiting people, in whatever it might be. We need guidance from God. Now, there's the big questions too, but in just our everyday life, I just know I need. What do I say, Lord? How do I act like this? How do I discipline that person? How do I share with them? How do I love them more? And we need guidance from God. So Psalm 25 starts, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." I'm being honest with you, Lord. I'm being open. I'm sharing with you. I'm lifting it up and saying, please come and help me. And, you know, God cannot but help to run and help us because we are turning to Him. Oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Lord, I'm being honest with you. Would you come and help me? And don't me be put to shame. Let me be dishonored. Why? Because I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to trust you. I'm saying I'm a Christian when I can, or, you know, how I act, how I am in my work, how I am in my household, maybe even how I'm stating what I'm saying. I'm telling people about you, Lord. Don't put me to shame. What's shame? Shame is feeling like being dishonored in front of people, being put down. You know, I remember I was always taught as a parent, as a mother, if you're going to discipline a child, yes, you can tell them to stop doing that. We would tell our children, go to your room. Because privately, we would talk with them. That wasn't very good. You don't want to do it publicly, even in front of their brothers and sisters. Now, you have to stop them doing whatever behavior or however they were talking or whatever was wrong. But you talk it out and discipline them behind the scenes. You don't, like a teacher, you don't discipline in front of the class. You do it privately. Because once someone feels shamed, it scars them. It's an area then that needs healing down the track. But if you continue to do it, that person then doesn't feel they can stand upright and be honest. They often will hide. They often maybe do things behind people's backs. God does not want us to be shamed. He never shames us. He never condemns us. He may convict us in our hearts and say, that's not good. But He privately will talk to us and guide us and help us. So we beseech our God, don't let me be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. And then we turn to Him and say, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Make me? Whoa, that's being honest and upfront. Make me, Lord? Whoever wants to be made to do something? Nobody. Our heart is, Lord, make me. If I won't do it on my own, can you make me do it? Because I know that you've got the best for me. I want your guidance. I want your direction. I want your protection. Would you make me go the right path? Would you make me say the right things? Now, our God makes us by loving us, by serving us. He's a servant to all, and asks us to follow in His ways. So we ask him to teach us, to show us, to guide us. You know, I want to tell people about you, Lord, so don't let me be put to shame. Make me, surrender, mold me, use me. How often do we sing it in songs? Mold me, Lord, use me, Lord. Do we really want to be molded? Think of plasticine or clay. You know, if you've got it in your hands, you can prod it and poke it and make it into any shape. Do you want God to do that to you? To be honest, probably not. Because you could be in a shape that you don't want to be, but it's still the most beautiful shape ever because God did it. When you have a heart understanding of God's true love for you, you want to be prodded and poked, whatever God wants. But to say it, oh my goodness, it is to be humble. It is to cry out to him. It is sometimes the part where we get to where so can't do it anymore myself, Lord. I'm destitute without you. I need you in my life. All these problems, all these situations, I can't do it. I need you to help. I need you to come. I need you to guide me. I need you to protect me. Teach me. You know, I need to be teachable. I need to be in a place where I'll say, I'm ready to learn. I don't know everything anymore. I'm ready to learn from you, God. Lead me in your truth, it says. Lead me in your truth. Who doesn't want to know the ultimate truth? You know, I had a picture in my mind. You know when a girl goes to her closet, she's going out and she puts on something and comes out and says to her husband, her family, whoever's there, brothers and sisters, and said, do I look all right? You want the truth. You want someone to say, yeah, that just looks amazing on you. Or it might say, nah, it doesn't really suit you. That colour's not you. You know, when you go try on things at the shops before you buy, don't you want someone to say that to you? I really dislike it when you get people who work at the shop and everything you try on, they say, that looks amazing, because they want you to buy it. Sometimes think, oh my goodness, this looks disgusting on me. I wish they were honest. I wish they would say, nah, it doesn't really suit you. That colour doesn't help your skin. Why don't you try this shape and this colour? I would feel so much more better about myself and about maybe what their selection would be, because they were caring about me, not caring about me buying something. We want people to tell us the truth. So do we not want our God to lead us in our truth, in his truth, in the truth? And then we state, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. You are the God who saves me. You have given me freedom and purpose. You have given me everything, Lord. You have given me love, unconditional love. So we go back and state upon him what he's done, who he is. And the next one it says, do we say this? Or do we truly not be truthful and we state it, but it's not in our heart? For you I wait all day long. I hate waiting. I'm in a queue. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. How long is it going to take? This person's so slow. Do I wait for the Lord? Lord, when are you coming? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. Where are the answers? I'm waiting upon you. Do we wait? Because there's two waits. Do we wait because we want to be served? We want to be loved? We want the answers? We're waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting, ready and anxious and getting prepared. I'm waiting. Or do we, as servants, wait upon God and worship him and love him no matter our circumstances, no matter if we get no answers, because he is love, because he died for us on the cross and gave us, has given all of us eternal life with him, where there's no more weeping, no more tears, no more shame, no more, you know, dishonor, no more struggle, no more fighting, no more hatred, till we wait upon our God. Then we're a bit cheeky because it goes on to say in verse 6, be mindful of your mercy, O Lord. We're reminding God to be merciful. But we are. Lord, you said your mercies are new every morning. Well, today's a new day. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord. You know, when the disciples came to him and said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he says, 77 times 7. Now, back then, they didn't have calculators. Not everyone knew maths, but they knew that that was a huge number because God was saying, you forgive them every time. And if that's the Father's heart and he's sharing truth and that with us, that's what he would do for us. 77 times 7 forever, he will forgive us if we come to him. Remember, Jesus is dying on the cross and there's two thieves on each side of him. And one says, basically he says, would you forgive me? And Jesus has said, you will be with me in paradise tomorrow. Straight away he's forgiven. Straight away he's been told, you've got eternity. It's yours. Because God is so merciful. So remind him, be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old, meaning they've always been, because you've always been. There's no start of God. God has always been. Your love is forever. Your mercy is forever. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. Oh my goodness. Don't remember me, Lord, for all the stuff I've done wrong. Remember me because of your love. Not even looking at, remember me, Lord, because I love you. Because my love is weak and not pure and not always there. And not always 100% on. But God's love, it's stuck on the 100% on switch forever and ever and ever. So we cheekily say to the Lord, remember me because of your love, because of what you've done, because of your mercy. And he'll say, I remember. We just need to come and be teachable. Be surrendered, and God will guide us and protect us and deliver us from whatever we need to be delivered from. And we need to wait on him, because this actually comes first. When we wait on him, then he comes and always serves and waits on us. I hope that helps you at times when you need God to guide you and deliver you. But it's also not just a focus on me, it's a focus on him. How wonderful he is. Let us praise his name together. Thank you for listening.